Hot. It's time for this Talk Browns Football with Scott Petrak on the Petrak Report. It's brought to you on WEOL by Jamelis, Wilson, Merrill, and Fritz Company, attorneys at law and Royal Business Equipment. Ready for a hot day, Scott?
Sure. The Browns aren't practicing today, so that's good. They're back at it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Scott, I mentioned to Bruce earlier, I was in Berea yesterday, and I was driving through town when people were arriving for the practice, and there was a huge crowd. There was nowhere to park. People were all decked out. Was it that way when you got there?
Yeah, it was. It might have been the biggest crowd of camp so far. And actually, usually the way they set it up is we do interviews a couple hours before practice, so there's not, you're not dealing with the traffic. But yesterday, that wasn't the case. We're kind of arriving the same time fans were, and I was not, I did not think of that ahead of time. So I actually had to do a little driving in the wrong lane to get to the media lot in time so I could go talk to Coach Kevin Stefanski.
A lot of one-way streets in Berea anyway is a college town. They don't care what you go. Kids walk everywhere. Doesn't matter as long as you just find a place to park. But the Browns getting ready for the Chiefs. But let's just go. We haven't talked since the Browns-Eagles 18-18 tie. What did we kind of learn from that game, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the two biggest takeaways were Cade York missing the two late kicks, right? He'd missed one field goal each in the first two games, and then he'd made three in a row to start Thursday night. So there'd been a lot of concern about him, a lot of conversation about him, but he made three in a row. So I think things are going to calm down, but then he gets a chance to kick the game winner coming out of the 2-minute warning, misses it right. The Eagles have a penalty because they lined up wrong. So he gets another chance from 41 yards and misses it left. So all the doubts about him, all the concern about him come rushing back. And it's going to be a storyline until it's not, until they make a change or until he gets on a run where he makes a bunch of kicks in a row. So that was the biggest one. And then I thought rookie quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson played well again. It's continued his really strong preseason. He had made a dumb penalty. He threw a blindside block that got a 15-yard penalty. And there's no need for him to throw it. You know, I think he's just trying to look tough. And he's shown his toughness because he's blocked on a couple occasions, but he didn't need to do that one. But I think he's looked really composed in the pocket, and obviously he's an incredible athlete, so when he takes off, he can make plays running.
In one of your columns today, you relate to the quote of the day about badassery. my question, though, is how do you lead the league in intangibles?
That feels like a coaching thing, right? But I think it's Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator. I think his point is well taken, that he wants the defense to lead the league in effort. And that's, you can't measure that, right? But it's passion and effort, and it's something the defenses need to play with. I think it's a mentality that he's trying to encourage in these guys. And it feels like it's taken hold. Greg Newsom was excited talking about Jim Schwartz. That's been a theme throughout training camp. Guys are excited about what he's brought to the defense. And to me, it's interesting because when Schwartz first got to Philly in, I don't know, it was 2017 or 2015 as coordinator, he rubbed some guys the wrong way. And I read a bunch of stories about it. And I haven't noticed the same negativity, right? And he got past that in Philly, and they wound up winning a Super Bowl. But I think guys either were prepared for it, or maybe Schwartz has softened a little bit, or whatever the case may be. I haven't noticed any kind of backlash. It's been pretty much embracing what Schwartz has to offer. And, you know, when we talk about this defense making a big jump from last year, reason number one is Jim Schwartz.
We're getting ready for the Kansas City Chiefs. Starters should be playing a little bit. What are we going to see in this game, and what is it really going to tell us about, how we're going to fare this season, if anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to read too much into any preseason game, right? Even if they play 20 to 25 snaps, that's a third of a normal game. So it is a sample size, but it's not a full game, right? You don't have your whole game plan in. So it's hard to read too much into it. Having said that, you know, the Browns have a tough stretch to start the season. They got all three division opponents within the first 4 weeks. They opened with the Bengals. So it's an important stretch. And I think the coaching staff is looking for a sign that the team is ready, that the team's at least getting close to ready where they can close up whatever gaps they need over the next, you know, the following 2 weeks before that season opener. To me, the biggest question is about the passing game on offense. And, you know, Deshaun Watson has been, I would say, up and down throughout the preseason or throughout training camp. He only had the one drive in the preseason. But throughout training camp, there have been plenty of good moments. There were yesterday. But then there's times where, you know, he's inaccurate or it doesn't look like he's making the right decisions. And the pass rush has gotten to him a lot. And, you know, I know that they don't chip as much and it's kind of man-on-man blocking, but, you know, is the line going to protect him the way it needs to? I think these are questions that won't completely get answered with Kansas against Kansas City, but you can feel like, okay, maybe they saw some things. Maybe they feel like Watson is on that trajectory that it needs to be to go compete against, assuming Joe Burrow plays week one, Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and all the other big-time quarterbacks he's going to have to face.
Scott, do you have any update on Marquise Goodwin, the wide receiver who's had some blood clot issues?
Not really. I mean, he continues to be on the side, you know, working with the other injured guys and the athletic trainers. You know, that's such a nebulous thing that there's no guarantee that he's going to come back and be able to play again. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how they handle. Does he have to go on IR? Does he go on a separate list if he's not ready to go week one? But no, I don't. There has been no update since the start of camp.
Jack Coughlin still kind of out a bit. We always seem to have some sort of time where he's not able to play. How much can we expect him to be really an impactful part of our team this year?
Yeah, I mean, he played 14 games last year, which, you know, I mean, it's a good amount, 14 out of 17. But he has had some other injuries in the past couple of years. You know, the Browns gave him an extension last season, so they feel like he's the guy, at least for the next couple of years. He was in a concussion protocol. He got hurt a week ago Monday in the first joint practice against Philadelphia. It was kind of interesting yesterday. He started practice. He went to individual drills, did some team drills, and then left practice. And the Browns said he's still in the concussion protocol, and usually you don't see guys practicing when they're still in the protocol, but I think it was like the final stage before he clears the protocol. So it'll be interesting to see Tuesday, if he's completely out of the protocol, if he's back in practice 100%. You know, I mean, they're expecting him to play and be the guy at right tackle. And, you know, if he has to miss time, then it's a guy like James Hudson III would be the number one backup, or rookie DeJuan Jones. And, you know, both those guys show promise, but, you know, Conklin's a two-time All-Pro, so there is a drop-off. As long as he's healthy, I still think Conklin can play at a high level.
Well, mentioning that, there was this story about how they'll also have players playing out of position just to get practice in that. How often do they do something like that, and is there really a benefit for them to do that?
Well, yeah, they did it, I noticed, for the first time yesterday, and it's because when you get to the regular season, your roster's limited. Right now they have 90 guys. You can rotate guys through, but when you get to the regular season, it's 53. You only get 46 or 47 on game day. So if there's an injury or the wrong injury, you have to have some flexibility. So they had center Ethan Posick working at guard. They had tackle James Hudson III working at guard. They had DeJuan Jones, a rookie, go from right tackle to left tackle for the first time because you're just limited in what you can do in a game situation. So guys have to have some kind of flexibility. And offensive line is the number one position where you need that.
Yeah, we see that last year when we went through several different centers, and who's going to snap the ball becomes something, so you always have to have at least some sort of a backup to a backup as well. Well, we'll talk with you again next week after the KC game and see how things go as we get ready for the regular season, Scott. Appreciate your time.